Grace and mercy. Mercy and grace. Two beautiful words so central to our wonderful Catholic faith. Although not used specifically in our scripture readings this weekend, these two words may be central to our understanding of the message being shared. Mercy and grace. What do these words mean? How do we live them? While used often, defining them may be elusive. Oxford defines grace as simple elegance, refinement of movement, or courteous goodwill. Likewise, mercy is defined as compassion or forgiveness shown toward another. While both these definitions are valid, do they speak adequately to our Christian lived experience of mercy and grace? Imperfect as our attempt may be, how then do we define mercy and grace? A fellow deacon once shared with me his understanding of these two words. Mercy is when we do not receive something we are due. Grace is when we receive something we are not due. These truths are simple to say, but complex to understand. Let me repeat them again. Mercy is when we do not receive something we are due. Grace is when we receive something we are not due. An example that I and perhaps you commonly encounter in our daily lives may put some flesh on the bone to be a more lived understanding of these definitions. During my workday, as I drive my big truck around through a myriad of streets, roundabouts, stop and yield signs, I have many opportunities to experience potential mercy and grace. Likely you experience similar encounters as you commute to work, shuttle children to and fro, or run an errand. Maybe it is about the size of a commercial vehicle, but I have found that many other drivers go to great lengths not to follow behind me. To avoid it, they may roll through a stop sign just to get ahead of me, or enter a roundabout out of turn, causing me to step on the brakes or swerve. At times, a vehicle may be following closely behind me, only to pass at the very first opportunity and then slow down. Especially puzzling is when any one of these incidents is accompanied with a fist bump or an angry word or a not-so-welcoming gesture involving a single digit of a hand. Does any of this sound familiar to you? Deacon, you may ask, what does this have to do with mercy and grace? My first inclination in these situations may be to react to those who risk their safety and mine. I may be tempted to yell back or drive aggressively. In my thoughts, I may wish to insult them, to demean or belittle them. A friend of mine even shared that sometimes he imagines harming the other person. This, brothers and sisters, is where we have an opportunity to live mercy, not as a definition, but as a way of being. In response to these perceived transgressions, we can silently forgive, or at least not devalue or judge the other. It may be helpful to take a breath and remember times that others expressed mercy to us in similar situations, whether our actions were intentional or not. But it doesn't end there. We also have an opportunity to extend grace to the other, to create with God a holy moment by praying for the other. We have the chance to not only resist a negative gesture, but to take it a step further, to offer them a sincere smile or a friendly wave, or allow a little extra space cushion at the stoplight that they rushed ahead of us so quickly to get to. In light of our understanding of lived mercy and grace, let us turn to our scripture readings. In our first reading from the book of 1 Samuel, David, as you remember, displayed mercy. Saul was intent on unjustly harming David. When encouraged by Abishai to allow him to thrust a spear through Saul, David instead chose to express mercy. If mercy is when someone does not receive something they are due, clearly Saul was the recipient here. David takes it one step further when he announces to all, I would not harm the Lord's anointed. Despite Saul's poor choices and malicious intent, David recognizes and encourages others to see Saul as anointed, a child of God. Our second reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he reminds us of this inalienable dignity we each have as received as God's beloved children, bound to Christ, in that, just as we have borne the image of the earthly one, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one. Our gospel reading today also speaks of mercy and grace. We are called to live mercy, for from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. We are called to take it a step further and express grace, to love your enemies and do good to them, and lend, expecting nothing back. We are to be an expression of mercy and grace as we look to God's loving example to be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging and you will not be judged. Stop condemning and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and gifts will be given to you. All this is easier said than done, though, isn't it? As much as we may recognize potential opportunities of mercy and grace, we may choose to not collaborate with God to create holy moments. In fact, I dare say it is impossible for us to consistently share mercy and grace when left to our own accord. Left to ourselves, our sinful frailty, and often selfish priorities, we are destined for failure. And that, my friends, may be the key. It is only through our relationship with God that we become that which we are called to be, true expression of his love in this world. In the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me, him, in me and I in him, will bear much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. It is with, in, and through Jesus that God's love flows manifesting in daily acts of mercy and grace, great and small. How do we allow ourselves to be nurtured, to be formed into his image and likeness? With Jesus, by spending time with him, we become more like him. We begin to live by the commandments he has charged us. We walk our lives as he walked his, by the example he set. Many of you attended a recent gathering in which Bishop Ricken shared with us the wonderful gift of Eucharistic adoration. I paraphrase his words when I share what he said. We tend to be like those we spend time with. Who better than Jesus to spend time with as we sit before him in adoration? In being with Jesus, we allow our hearts to be transformed. Sarah, our St. Race pastoral associate, so beautifully wrote in a recent bulletin article, do we look upon others, all others, with love and compassion? If not, we probably need to spend more time under the loving gaze of Jesus to learn from him how to love purely, as he did. Our greatest opportunity to grow in our calling to express mercy and grace may be here at the celebration of Mass. As we pray Mass together, we are joined through and in Christ as we hear the wonderful words, through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen. When we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity, we are nourished and strengthened. Going forth, we become Jesus' true presence, his hands and his feet, vessels of mercy and grace for those that we meet. Do not be afraid to call upon his strength, to rely more fully on the Holy Spirit, because without him, we fail. As we go forward, let us commit ourselves to moments of holiness, through expressions of mercy and grace. Realizing full well that on our own we will fail, let us embrace Jesus' commandments to love others as he does, relying on him, for through him we can do anything. May we allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us, that in our daily holy moments we will become what we are truly called to be, vessels of Jesus' love. Mercy and grace, beautiful words to be lived. Amen.